They think that these screens are now the new babysitter for their children. I've had personal friends. I will never give my kid a tablet, a phone. And 4 years later, kids 4 or 5 years old, and here they are sitting at dinner with a tablet in their hands. And we've seen these things, things turn to absolute nightmarish situations.
You're listening to Protect It All, where Aaron Crowe expands the conversation beyond just OT, delving into the interconnected worlds of IT and OT cybersecurity. Get ready for essential strategies and insights. Here's your host, Aaron Crowe.
Thank you for joining me on this episode of Protect It All podcast. I'm super excited to have my friend John here with me. So John and I have known each other since I've moved to Austin. Very early on, I went to a cyber event and John was there. And now he's come to all of our Lone Star Shootout events. And I always see him at the ISSA events where he's the CISO of. And John, why don't you introduce yourself first? Thank you for taking time. I know we've talked about this and schedules just haven't aligned. So I'm glad we finally sat down and taken the time to record this. So introduce yourself. Tell everybody who you are, what you do, all the good stuff.
Yeah, thank you, Aaron. Appreciate it. I know we've talked about this for, what, almost a year now, and I've watched some of your episodes. I think they're great. Thank you for having me on. Again, my name is John Schmansky. I am the Chief Information Security Officer for a company called TriVigil based here in Austin. We are a educational/boutique cybersecurity firm focusing on education, small, medium market builds, enterprises, as well as the universities in K-12. My background includes both physical security for 15 years as well as cybersecurity since 2007 when it was ransomware was a green dot credit card for $5,000 rather than multi-billion dollars in Bitcoin. When the FBI basically said pay them and make them go away was kind of the order of the day because they didn't have time to go chasing. The one incident I was involved in was in Czechoslovakia. That was interesting. It was a small phishing attack, ransomware of a small company, and $5,000 on a green dot credit card. My CEO at the time said, go get him. I started laughing because, trying to get across the world in a reasonable amount of time, that money is gone. So I really focus on education in small and medium business where they don't understand how cybersecurity is changed from an if we get hacked to when we get attacked. Yeah. We've seen current things such as the Salesforce attacks that is hitting big business, Cisco, Tenable just got hit, 2 weeks ago, through their Salesforce and lost all their client data, client contact information. They didn't get any of the financial stuff, but that just leads to more and more attacks, up to and including in the educational sector, which is very big usage of Salesforce. But really what you and I talked about on this is how we deal with cybersecurity in our kids. And this is getting literally frightening. I know you've seen my presentation at some point, and I'm giving another presentation on October 1st at the International Accelerator here in Austin. And it's more so we're starting to see the same type of activities that we saw in the late 80s and early 90s, the small white van said free puppy, free candy to entice children. We're now starting to see those same type of predators, those same type of actors. As we open our children up to the internet, we've opened those predators up to our children as well. And I know you've seen this as well. And unfortunately, it's now starting to become almost a pandemic style problem, very much similar to what we've seen before. I've worked with the agency called National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. I've met those people. They're a great organization. And for those of you who don't know, that was built in the early 80s with Ronald Reagan and a gentleman by the name of John Walsh, who was America's Most Wanted host for a number of years. In fact, I think he's coming back.
Really?
Yeah, I think he's coming back this next year or so with a new show similar to America's Most Wanted. But his son in the early 80s was kidnapped and killed by a gentleman, and he worked with the government at the time, which was Ronald Reagan's presidency, to build this legacy organization to help children. And one of the things that we've seen is most government agencies don't keep up with the times. That's not the case with the National Center. They've gotten Congress to enact laws that state all social media must report what they call child sexual abuse material to the center. Last year was 20 million hits, something like 65 instances a second or something ridiculous. That is
terrifying.
Well, you know, and it's a lot of, they will say that that image is a lot of the same image. It comes from Discord. It comes from Facebook. It comes from social media sightings and games. And it's a lot of the same. But what they do is they take that image. Nobody has to see it. Nobody has to review it. They put it through a company. I don't remember who. They turn around and digitally hash it and hand it back as a blacklist to these social medias. And it's, the list is growing day by day and function by function. So one of my jobs and one of my opportunities is to work with not only big enterprise, but universities to and K through 12 to help them decipher and get rid of this stuff on their own enterprises. We all know that there are bad apples in all kinds of employments. We've seen here in Austin a couple months ago, there was a kindergartner teacher that was arrested for having pictures of CSAM on his personal device. As a CISO, that frightens me. As somebody who's worked with children most of my career and has two stepsons of my own, that is frightening.
Yeah.
And what a lot of people don't realize, and I've seen this in the, both the cyber community as well as the outside community from an education perspective, they don't know. They think that these screens are now the new babysitter for their children. I've had personal friends. I will never give my kid a tablet, a phone, and 4 years later, kids 4 or 5 years old, and here they are sitting at dinner with a tablet in their hands. And we've seen these things, and we've seen these things turn to absolute nightmare situations. There was an article that came out about a week and a half ago, I believe it was The Atlantic. 21% of children recognized and interviewed said they had nobody to talk to but from artificial intelligence. That, to me, is just insane.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen what artificial intelligence can do. We're seeing it now. 41%, again, I believe it was either The Atlantic or Times, I don't remember which, came out about 7 or 8 weeks ago, said 41% of the 1,000 students surveyed said they wish the internet didn't exist. Now, you know, I mean, it's those types of things, but we've opened up the internet to our children. Therefore, the internet is taking full advantage of us.
Yeah. You know, it's insane. You know, this started with me. I've got three kids. You know, my oldest is 16. We really noticed this in COVID times when they were all at home. And you know, they had a lot, you know, obviously they had a lot more time online, and they came home with devices. Like, they had their Chromebooks, and they had, you know, that's how they did school. And then we noticed it, and I really, it was innocent enough. I noticed my kids were tired every morning, and I wasn't sure why. We were putting them to bed, and then after we put them to bed, they were getting back up and playing online games all night long. Like, there wasn't any, you know, real risk or anything other than, oh, wow, I didn't realize that my kids were doing that, right? So, you know, it wasn't a big risk other than I'm a technologist, so you can't see it in the corner, but I've got a bunch of stuff. Like, I've got wireless, you know, separate Wi-Fi for my kids, and they have, you know, they're restricted. They can't go to websites. I have applications on their devices, so they can't go to certain websites and all that kind of stuff. So I was able to lock down their system so that the Wi-Fi turns off at 10 o'clock at night. And, you know, even now they have cell phones, but again, it's all locked down. Like, they can't get to anything, and I block it. And that's why I use Apple instead of Android. Nothing is foolproof, but I started doing all that, you know, all the way back in 2000. And it's amazing to me the amount of families and parents. And again, as a dad and uncle and, you know, all my friends' kids, like, how many parents obviously are not cybersecurity people, and they don't have anything like that, right? They have no idea what apps are on their kids' phones. They have no idea what websites they're going to. They have no idea what games they're playing on their computers. We've all seen all of the struggles and difficulties with Roblox and all the child predators that are on that platform and what all's going on with all of that right now. So, I mean, it's just, it's something that you have to be mindful of. And it can happen even if you, me and you and whomever, if we're intelligent about it, that doesn't mean that our kids, our wives, our families, our parents, our grandparents, like, everybody is at risk. I told a story a while back real quick. I'll hit on it again. I think I may have told you, but Christmas of last year, I was in Dallas with my wife and my family, and we dropped our kids off at my parents' house, and we went to go grab a happy hour margarita and some queso. And I got a phone call from the Williamson County Sheriff's Department, or what I thought was a Williamson County Sheriff's Department. And it was a good old Texas boy accent. The phone number looked right, like all the things. And it was a scam. And they were trying to get me. They told me I had a warrant for my arrest and I had to go to the county courthouse and I had to give them money to make sure I didn't have. So all the things they were saying, nothing really set off my spidey sense until I pulled money out. And they said, okay, now that you've got money out, go buy a gift card. And I'm like, well, no, I'm not doing that. Because before that, they had just told me to go to the courthouse and go to the sheriff. Like, I'll go to the sheriff if I have a warrant, because they said I'd miss jury duty. And that because I'd missed jury duty, that I had to go. I had a warrant for my arrest and I didn't file the paperwork. Or if I did, they didn't get it, blah, 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 whatever. And I had missed jury duty, but I had filled out the form. But, you know, they had me all the way until, and again, the whole time my spidey senses were going off, I'm like, I'm not sure this is right. I'm not sure this is right. I'm not sure this is right. But, you know, if I'm going to the sheriff's department, obviously there's no risk. But as soon as they said, buy a gift card, I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing that, jerk.
Well, you know, you touch on that. My mother's 83 years old, not technologically savvy. I have to fix her stuff pretty much on a weekly basis or a monthly basis, like we all, like all good technology sons do.
Of course.
And this is a story that goes back almost 10 years. I'm at work and she gets a phone call from somebody claiming to be my stepson, who's now in Vegas, who's in trouble with the police department. And she calls me. This is 2 days before my wedding. And I'm sitting at the desk and she calls me and she goes, where's your stepson? At my house, sleeping on my couch the next 2 days. She goes, are you sure he's not in Vegas? I'm like, he was sleeping on my couch 3 hours ago. I'm at work. And back and forth. And my father was a police officer. She should have known better. But again, mm-hmm. I need Target gift cards to get myself out of jail. Like, really, how does that work? I will tell you, I don't know if you've been to Home Depot as of lately. Have you seen the signs behind the self-checkouts?
No.
They actually have. You cannot buy Home Depot gift cards to satisfy utilities, bail bondsmen, bail amounts, jury duty, all of this list of things. I have a picture of it somewhere.
Because enough people have done it, then they've complained to Home Depot that they put up signs.
Yeah, my mother's been caught in the secret shopper scam for $2,000. Yeah, we'll talk about that one later because that'll curl your hair. But think about, you know, what we were just talking about with the kids and the scams and the things that are going on, especially with artificial intelligence. You know, the kids are seeing these things. The 14-year-old in Florida last year killed himself over a character.ai, and yep. The mother's suing the company. The two cases coming out of Massachusetts and Texas for pretty much the same reason, but those were kids preparing to kill their parents because they took away their screen time at the insistence of the AI. Sam Altman and OpenAI got sued 2 weeks ago over a child committing suicide. These are things that, you know, we are going to continue to see until we step up, until we say enough is enough. And I will tell you, not that I'm a big fan of the individual himself. I was very behind the idea of when Elon Musk about a year ago said we need to stop AI development and start putting in guardrails. Now, let's be honest. We were going to be the only country that does that. Other countries weren't going to do it, and which is why it never really flew here, because we realized mutually assured destruction. You know, AIs would get bigger, better, faster, which they're doing now. Everybody's pouring millions of dollars and billions of dollars into AI technology and research, and it's only going to get better for humanity and worse for humanity. And by that, I mean for our children. I'm an adjunct professor with Purdue University teaching cybersecurity and ethics, and I don't allow AI use in my classes. They can use it to what Purdue calls the first two levels of the AI allowance that we have, but I don't allow them to use it to quote it because we've seen mm-hmm. that. It's full of false information. It's mm-hmm. full of hallucinations. It's full of things that we don't want out there in the public space. And I'm sure you see that in the OT space as well. You know, I want AI to manage my cameras. That doesn't really work out well. I want them to manage my PLCs. Doesn't work out well. You know, I think AI is a great tool. I use it on occasion when I'm writing things and something just doesn't look right to me, or I need to verify some type of information that I know is true, but I need the source material behind it. And Googling just isn't getting it for me.
Sure.
You know,
well, it's one of those things where, I mean, I use AI all day long, every day.
Right.
But to your point, I'm only using it for things that I already know. Right. I'm not asking it to, like, I'll use Perplexity, for instance, instead of Google. Like, hey, what is a good restaurant that has, you know, Italian food in Georgetown, Texas? Right. And I'll use it for that because it kind of helps summarize things. It's, you know, it's not worried about the SEO as much, things like that. But, you know, I'm not saying, hey, write this article for me. Right. I'll give it a transcript. And it's funny you say the hallucinations. I've noticed different AIs are better at certain things than others. So like Claude, I can use Claude for some things and other things I can't. So I'll create a transcript from a podcast episode like what we're talking about today. And I'll take the transcript and I'll say, create a post for LinkedIn using the transcript of our conversation. So I'm giving it all of the context. I don't want you to make up anything. Everything comes from this. And I built ChatGPT and I've got a custom ChatGPT trained well enough that it knows my podcast website. It knows, you know, all my names, all that kind of stuff. So it knows the format that I want because I've given it all of that. And it does a great job. But again, I'm giving it the answers. It's not having to go search for anything. It's not having to think about anything. It's really just formatting. It's really just pulling out some nuggets based on a template that I gave it. It doesn't have to think in its collective knowledge to do that. But if I just said, hey, create a post for episode 75 of the Protected All podcast, I've seen it where it just makes stuff up. And it's like, Aaron was talking to Elon Musk about AI, you know, data centers. No, I wasn't.
Well, we did an experiment, some friends of mine about a year ago, this back when, you know, I think it was like ChatGPT 2 or 3 or something. And we just said, what do you know about this person who happens to be in the dog show world or was at the time? The first 50% of it was 100% correct. It was 100% spot on. This was his profession. He's well known. This is it, you know, his breed, whatever. Then after the end of it, or towards the end of it, it started coming with, as what you said, absolutely made up stuff that would not fly in the real world. It told it. He said that he won the Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show, which we both have actually been to. Neither one of us are getting towards that trophy. That's just not going to happen. Our breed is not well known enough. And then it said it won the World Dog Show. No, that didn't happen. You know, so, and I believe it was Altman that came out like 90 days ago or within 90 days ago that says that they have to reset the code for ChatGPT, which is why we're seeing new iterations of ChatGPT, because the hallucinations are getting so bad. Like that frightens me, because there are people on the internet, and it's now become almost an American Psychology Index called AI psychosis. And we're starting to see that not only encroach on what is the AI telling us, is it true or not, is these things thing, but we're starting to see it in interpersonal relationships between humans and AI. Article came out 3-4 weeks ago about a gentleman from New Jersey thought this girl was in New York, was in love with him. He was already in a diminished capacity state and 75 years old, ends up trying to go to New York from New Jersey, slips, falls, kills himself at the train station. Now I believe it's Facebook and Meta that's being sued over that one. They've come out and said that the AI models, doesn't matter who it is, are now allowed to sexualize things, not just for adults, not just for the entertainment value or, you know, the pornography or anything like that, but even for children. I mean, Meta's 235 page that was just released within the last 6 weeks shows that they're allowed to have sexualized conversations with children, which is frightening in and of itself. We have to not only protect and put in these rails, but we as parents, we as adult educators, we as cyber experts need to be sounding this alarm, saying we're not going to tolerate this anymore. And one of the things that I present in my presentation is we've gone away from what would normally traditionally be the nuclear family. Mom and dad, 2.5 kids, the dog, the white picket fence. In preparing for this presentation that I did back in May, YouTube is, I think, 22 years old this year. when I grew up in the internet, you grew up on the internet. We had CompuServe, AOL, Netscape, you know, all the platforms. There was PSAs almost on the nightly news. Don't talk to strangers. Don't give out your information. Do you know
where your kids are?
Oddly enough, my presentation's called It's 2025. Do you know where your kids are surfing? You know, but there was PSAs almost on the nightly news on how to deal with this new world order of electronic communication, you know, the screeching of the modems and everything else aside. I could not find one on the internet. I could not find a PSA on YouTube since the beginning. And we've really stopped. We've stopped teaching this. And one of the things that I am very proud to work on is a program called Mask. And the company's called Mask Next Gen Shield, I believe. And it's a cybersecurity game to help kids understand that not everybody on the internet is your friend. Not everybody you play with on Fortnite, not everybody you play with on Roblox or Minecraft or any of the other social media platforms, they're not your friends. You might know them tangentially. You might not know them at all. And this might be people that you are now emboldened to try to, you know, there's predators out there acting as 10-year-olds, 13-year-olds on these platforms that are going to try and manipulate you or in the common vernacular, groom you to go to Discord, Gilded, some type of other platform to get away from the censors, to get away from the prying eyes of other people in order to start looking at it. There was a lady who posted on Instagram about a month ago that lives in Peoria, Arizona. Her 15-year-old daughter stole her cell phone and her credit card and was headed to the port of entry in Mexico from Arizona. She had about a three-hour gap between she knew where her daughter was. It wasn't. Border Patrol, with the help of the Arizona Law Enforcement Authorities, National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, caught her as she was going through the port of entry into Mexico. There was somebody waiting for her on the other side. Like, I can't imagine what she went through for those 3 hours. And she willingly posted it on Instagram, and I have a copy of the video that said, artificial intelligence help these people take my daughter. Because they're using it as a catfishing scam. And we've seen it before. It's not only it's coming out of, you know, Mexico, it's coming out of Nigeria, it's coming out of, you know, even here in Texas. And one of the groups I found, it's a group called 764, which is the first letter or first three numbers of the zip code for Stephenville, Texas. This group was created by a gentleman by the name of Brandon Cannonhead and is considered one of the most vicious, violent online groups to this day. FBI came out about 6 months ago, said every one of their 55 offices worldwide has at least one open case.
Wow.
On this group. So I did a little digging, as you know, I am prone to do, and I went down this rabbit hole. And I found out through public information and information available on the internet, Brandon Cannonhead was 15 when he started this program. At 17, he was tried as an adult and sentenced to 80 years in a Texas prison. That's not something I want to do. Mm-mm. Having worked for Texas Department of Criminal Justice at one point in my career, not something I want to do. You know, I don't want to serve. I will much rather stay on this side of the bars.
Yeah, no kidding.
But for the FBI to come out and say, this is the most vicious, violent group on the planet, and that every one of their 55 field offices has at least one case. They had, I think the article said they had 254 cases on this group, is disturbing. And this was created by a 15-year-old.
Wow.
I'm like, I don't know where you come up with that. I don't know how you become that. They had a 9-year-old killer hamster on live video. Self-cutting routines. I mean, we all know the psychology of this. You know, you and I both do the psychology of black cats. But I mean, where does this stop? Where do we step in and say enough is enough? And it the time is coming. This is becoming a pandemic of sizable proportions.
It is. And I think part of the problem has become, from my perspective,
sure,
parents have always, we've always put, not just parents, but people in general, we expect organizations, governments, et cetera, to protect and help, right? So, you know, the police department stops the people down the street from, you know, robbing your house, or if they do, they respond and they react. But we've both seen this. You call your local police department, they have no jurisdiction for somebody that just hacked you. None whatsoever. Then you call the FBI. Then you, what if it came from Russia? What if it came from, you know, they're hopping their packets all around the world. So it doesn't work that way, right? You can't depend on Facebook to do it, because not that they're not trying to do it. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't. But how could they possibly stop everything when you're talking about millions and millions of users and hundreds of billions, trillions of communications that are going back forth and things that are being shared and everything? Like, you know, it gets to be an exponential problem. So it's just like my views on government. There's things that the federal government needs to do. There's things that the state government needs to do. And there's things that the local government need to do. And then there's things that you need to do in your own house. Like, I don't leave my front door unlocked. Like, you know, and I live in a really safe area. Like, I live in a great neighborhood and a great city, and there's not a lot of crime here. And, you know, sometimes my door is left open, but I don't make that a habit. I leave my door locked when I leave. I lock it when I'm here. Like, I have firearms and things like that that I protect myself with. But the point is that we have to take control of my household. Like, you need to be responsible. You parents, uncles, aunts, you know, you have to take control of your own safety and your kids' safety. Nobody's going to do it for you. Nobody's going to rescue you, right? So, you know, I believe there's a huge gap in the commercial world. You know, even when I'm building out like my home network, I'm a nerd. I'm a cyber geek, and I've been a network admin and all the things. So I can grab all the tools, and I can buy enterprise level, you know, pfSense and firewalls, and I know how proxies work, and I can put up a pie hole so I can secure DNS, and there's all these things that I can do. I'm looking out my window. Every one of my neighbors probably don't have that capability, right?
No.
There's no tools available for parents to do this stuff that aren't a cyber person, right?
Well, there was. I mean, at one point, Disney had one, the Disney Ring, and that's gone by the wayside because, you know, parents were tired of hearing, you know, Johnny and Jane say, I want to go do this, or I need to do this for school. And then they need to spend 25 minutes trying to figure out how to do exactly that. There is, you know, you mentioned pfSense, you mentioned Pi-hole, you mentioned these things that you and I understand just by pure saying the words. I mentioned Pi-hole to a friend of mine the other night while I was talking to him, because he's got a 15-year-old kid that's kind of running amok on the internet. And he's like, what is that? I'm like, dude, I'll build you one. I will send it to you with written instructions on how to do it, and I will manage it from here.
It's a Raspberry Pi. I can set up a Raspberry Pi. It costs me $50 to send it to you. It's not a big deal.
Well, because he doesn't know. That's not what he does. And it's great, you know, open DNS. DuckDuckGo, you know, Google DNS, and all of these DNS factors are thinking they're not understanding. There's no way to register the fact that you have a 16-year-old plus children under the age of 16. My two stepsons are in their 20s. I hate to think what they got into on the internet before they met me. But, you know, we're sitting here and we're not going to legislate our way out of this problem. It's not going to happen. There was a Republican senator here in Texas. It was House Bill 2610. Then in this last legislative session, they wanted to restrict social media to everybody over the age of 18. That's not the answer. Part of the reason I ran down this rabbit hole is I have a very good friend of mine. Her son was 16 at the time. She gave him access to social media, Instagram, Facebook. We won't even get into the Snapchat problem. I personally don't care for that app at all. Most people don't actually understand the origins of that app.
Mm-hmm.
But within 6 months, he was a victim of sextortion. 17-year-old girl, wasn't a 17-year-old girl, let's be honest, wanted $400 to not send pictures. We can imagine what kind of pictures that was.
Mm-hmm.
Not safe for work comes to mind. To not send them to his friends, families, coworkers, his manager, his parents, who happens to be a good friend of mine for 32 years. And he didn't have the, he had the money the first time. So they came back again for the second round, wanted $400 more that he didn't have. He ended up attempting to kill himself. Fortunately, he was not successful, kind of mentally repaired himself, kind of mentally, you know, got himself out of this hole. She didn't know about it for almost 3 years.
Wow.
And she called me one day and said, hey, I need you to verify these people work for this agency. Anything you can do. And I said, send me the info. She sent me a picture of a Department of Homeland Security officer and a Secret Service agent. Now I want to know the story. She's like, I can't tell you this story because they're sitting in my living room right now. They actually physically got the information from a bus that they did, from a chat server that they got, and were wanting to talk to him and her about it. Now, he's 22. He's a good kid, and he's mm-hmm. you know, he's mentally, I'd say, more aware. But how many of these kids you know of that aren't mentally aware that would do something like this? And it's and now it's starting to happen. I know of at least 50 cases last year that they attributed teen suicide to these sextortion rackets, all coming out of a group out of South Africa. We've all seen the Nigerian Prince scam. And now it's becoming more and more prevalent for children to be targeted. And we were talking about this probably about 6 months ago, me and my friend. We all did dumb things when we were kids. Mm-hmm. I know I did. My father was in law enforcement. I did things that probably weren't exactly 100% kosher. But there was no
video. Not me. I was a saint.
Huh? You were a saint?
I said, not me. I was a saint.
Uh-huh. But, you know, we didn't have cell phones to record this. We weren't doing Correct. These things for notoriety. We weren't doing these things for the latest TikTok trend. Right? The duck lips challenge comes to mind, which is kind of just stupid, but whatever. But nowadays, they're doing these things for likes. They're doing these to keep up with the Joneses. They're doing these things to get millions of views and become somewhat of an internet celebrity, even though it may not be legal. Or they're being attacked by these people who are obviously not legal and these things. But they don't understand how to deal with these issues. And one of the things that I caution parents with, if your kid comes to you and says, I've done something stupid. I've done something bad. I've done something wrong on the internet. The most key piece of advice I can give to those parents, don't criticize. Don't punish.
Yep.
Figure out how to solve the problem for your child without making them feel like they're a victim. Because they are a victim. We've seen this. But if they can't come to the mom, they can't come to the dad, they can't come to the teacher, they can't come to the adult in their life to say, I screwed up and I need help, they won't come to you when it's important. And I've seen this time and time again. I see this online. I'm a member of several parenting groups on Facebook and other social media platforms where I'm seeing both ends of this. My kid came to me. I took his screen away. My kid came to me and I helped him and I supported him. And you know, the FBI will tell you, file a complaint with the IC3. I filed several complaints. Never hear anything back. You know, the police department, there's not much they can do about it. They're going to take a report. They're going to forward it up to the FBI. It's going to go nowhere because there's thousands, as you said, there's millions and millions of these conversations happening all day long on social media, and we're not getting it. We're not getting it there. Now, if, and I said this in my presentation, and if my presentation gets through one set of parents, one parent, and saves one kid's life, my work is done. Mm-hmm. That is more important to me than, you know, anything I get financially out of this program or out of this work is if I can stop one kid from falling victim to this, that's a game changer for me. That's a win because, and we've done this with several schools now, and the program's going to launch in, I believe January with this game to the schools. We're going after mm-hmm. the kids at school. With a school component and other things, but if I can save one kid, and you know, part of the reason I'm sure why you do Protect It All is you can save one person, one system, one
yep.
thing. It's worth the effort, the energy, and the time.
100%.
And that's why I'm a big pro advocate of this. Is one, it's hit me personally with a friend of mine I've had for 32 years. I know that some of my cousin kids, my nieces and nephews, they've been victims. We yes. just don't know it.
Yeah. Well, and it's one of those things where, again, you hit on it a second ago. Back in our time, back in my day, you know, we only dealt with bullies that were next to us, right? I could stand up to that bully or not, but I wasn't dealing with bullies in China. I wasn't dealing with bullies in schools. I mean, my wife and I just watched the documentary. I don't remember what it's called. Everybody probably knows what I'm talking about, where the girl was getting cyber bullied, and it was her mom the whole freaking time doing it. For 2 years, she was cyber bullying, saying the most, including, why don't you go kill yourself to your own daughter? Right.
Yeah. I just watched that the other day as myself, as a matter of fact. It's called
Holy Cow.
That fish story.
It's insane.
But again, you know, we were talking about this the other night. People will say things on the internet using the anonymity of the internet that they would have gotten punched in the face for standing in front of people. Yep. It's kind of like that meme. You say things that you would get punched for in person on the internet that you would never say in public. We've seen it time and time again. An anonymous tip, an anonymous saying, you know, and you're right. This was the girl's own mother over 2 years, destroyed her romantic sweetheart relationship she had with that kid. Her friends were getting interrogated by the police department, the FBI. How traumatizing is that? And even she said, I don't know what happened. This turned into and it snowballed itself. But it's the power of anonymity. You know, you and I go out for drinks. We meet with cyber professionals in this city, in this state. We have good times at the Lone Star Shootout. And we know these people professionally and personally where they would, these are true professionals. But you get to the level of an adolescent mind and, oh, I can say this and be anonymous about this because I don't like this person. You know, and you're exactly right. In my day, there were fist fights on the quad.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a prestigious all-guys Catholic high school in California, you know, where the parents were paying big money a month to send your kids there. And we still had fights on the quad.
Of course.
Now it's, you know, I don't like this person. I'm going to be nice to their face, but I'm going to trash them online, and they don't understand the consequences of their actions. And, you know, we place such a value on human interaction that we should be encouraging our kids, go out and play soccer, go out and find your tribe. I do this all the time with my cyber students at the college. I always get asked, how did you get here? How did you get to be a Purdue instructor? How did you get to be a CISO? How did you get to the knowledge? It's not because I've got dual masters. It absolutely is not. It's because I have found a tribe in you and Aaron and the guys we deal with all day long, every day, the ISSA chapters, the meetups, the networking events, the happy hours, to find these people who can support what I want to do, what you do, because I don't know everything. I don't pretend to know everything. But I know people, and I can put a call out. I tell this to university all the time. I don't know everything. I don't even pretend to know anything anymore. But two things. One, if you give me enough information, I'll make a decision. We will go with a direction, whether it's right, wrong, or different, but it's going to be the correct direction for your organization. Mm-hmm. And two, if I don't know, I'm going to put it out to my tribe and my people to say, who knows about this and who can tell me about that? Because this, and you've heard me say this, cybersecurity is a team sport. Whether you're a parent, whether you're an educator, whether you're a professional, or the guy we just sat in the seat for a cyber analyst, this is a team sport, and we need to talk to each other because the black hats are.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it comes down to, you know, not knowing or being ignorant is not it's not an excuse anymore. That's another reason why I do this podcast, right? It's funny, like the first time, so I've been doing this podcast for going on 4 years, I guess now. The first one I had to rebrand it, and so this one I've been doing about 2 years, you know, a little over 70 episodes, almost 80 episodes,
right?
Average around one a week. And when my mother-in-law, who has not, she's not technical, she's not cyber, when she came home, she came over one day and she was like, "Oh, I listened to your podcast the other day," and I was like, "What? Why?" She's like, "I don't know. It's interesting to me." She told me which episode, again, I don't remember which one it was, but she listens to my podcast and she thinks it's interesting. Like, everybody should be, and it doesn't mean you need to listen to my podcast or whatever, but there's enough people out there that are doing good things, that are having conversations, that have podcasts, that have YouTube channels. Like, there's all this stuff that people are doing because they care, because they, for instance, prime example. The other day, my son, my oldest, is on. He does have social. He's the only one that has a social media account, but it's protected underneath me, and I monitor it, all that kind of stuff. And it's a kid's account, which that's one good thing that I think Facebook has done, is they have them, you know, kids' accounts, and the parents are custodians of them, and so we can see the messages, all that kind of stuff, right? You know, obviously that doesn't stop him from creating his own account, but that's a whole nother conversation. I have other ways to protect that, but he entered a giveaway, this influencer video guy that does what does he do? It's like he builds gaming PCs and talks about the latest hardware and things like that.
Sure.
He won a giveaway, so he sends me a message, "Hey, I won this giveaway," and I was just like, okay. So he says that I'm not 18, so I have to let my parents know, and that he'll send me, it's a $3,000 gaming PC. I'm like, all right, send me his information and I'll reach out. So I sent him his he sent me the information. I reached out to the guy. Guy responded. Okay. So I checked out his page, obviously, first. And the guy's in Houston and seems to be, you know, on the up and up. It doesn't look to be a scam, all the things. So he's like, "Hey, your son won this thing. You know, it was a giveaway sponsored by Asus. And, you know, I did a review on it. And now we give it away to our audience. Every time we build one of these PCs, we give them away." I'm like, okay. He goes, "So all I need is your name, your address, and your phone number." I'm like, okay. So I gave him my name. I gave him my UPS mailing address. And I gave him my Google Voice phone number. And I said, "Send it on." And then it shows up. And sure enough, it was real. Right. I logged it in. I scanned it before I put it on my network, like all the normal, you know, I would do. But the graphics card was broken. And I'm like, So I pulled it off and the graphics card had broken the little tab, so it wouldn't plug in the motherboard. And so I reached back out to him and I'm like, "Well, I'm like, Charlie, he may not fix it. I don't know." So, but no, he was super apologetic. He ordered another motherboard, sent it to the house. And he, this time, since I'd already talked to him and started going back and forth, the guy's a vet. He was in the Army, super nice guy in Houston. And he goes, "You want me to send it to the same place?" I'm like, "Well, now that I know you're not a scammer, here's my actual address. You can send it to me instead of the UPS store."
Yeah. But I mean, it behooves us as parents and as adults. And I'll be honest with you, basic human beings.
Yes.
To take that one step further to protect our children. You know, my two stepsons, you know, I you know, care for them both. And, you know, one of them's going to be working with me on some other projects and some other things. The other one's going to A&M, graduating next year with dual degrees. I mean, you know, and they call me and say, "Hey, what is the problem with this? Or how can I protect myself from that?" And as a parent and somebody who cares about children and particularly these two, we have to say yes and no. We have to say, this is what the problems are. You're an adult now, because they're both in their mid-20s.
Yeah.
Make your own decisions. Yeah. But I will be here to support you when you run into a jam. And I think we're starting to see that shift. But again, the government's not going to legislate this problem. We as parents, we as an adult, and we as professionals need to do that for them. As you said, protect our own homes.
Correct.
You know? You know, I don't need home without several things. I don't. Yeah, I don't expect anybody else to. I do follow the law and, you know, certified in certain things. And if a place has a certain sign, I won't walk into it with those things. But again, it behooves us to be, I don't want to say paranoid, but prepared.
Yeah. Well, and it's no different than as a parent, I have to talk to my kids about the birds and the bees. I have to talk to them about, you know, I've talked to my daughter about not going down a dark alley by herself in the city. Like, there's just certain things that we have to prepare our kids. And this is one of those things. And the problem is that most parents aren't prepared to have that talk with their kids because they don't know it themselves. Like, they don't have the literacy in cyber to be able to have it. So reach out to somebody like me or like John. I'd be happy to talk to your kids about it. I've done these talks. I've done a talk with, there's an organization. I can't remember the name of it right now. I'm sorry about that. But it's a woman's organization, and I was on a call. And it was a woman's mastermind, and I think there were like 60 or 70 women on the call, and they were all moms and aunts and sisters, and they had kids or nieces and nephews and all the things. And I just did 30 minutes of all the risks on the internet and how they can protect themselves and just basic stuff, nothing super technical, but you know, the pie hole and, you know, adding monitoring and why I use an iPhone over an Android. I'm not saying iPhone is better than Android. I'm just saying as a parent, I can control what they install on this phone a heck of a lot easier than I can on an Android. You know, I know every app that my kids put on their phone, I have to approve. Right? Little things like that make it right. So those conversations, again, find somebody that's willing to help you have those conversations, and we'll do it. Like, I would absolutely talk to anybody. I'm saying this publicly. If you need me to have a conversation with your family, your parents, your grandkids, whatever, I'm happy to do it. Right. 100%, no charge, not looking for anything in return. I, as a dad, as a man growing up in the South and the way I was raised, I always want to give back and help in that way.
Well, and you know, I was on a podcast yesterday. I don't remember the name of it, you know, and one of the biggest pieces of advice I can give anybody in the cyber world, anybody who deals with anything, whether it's you work with email, whether you get text messages all day long, whether you get phone calls all day long, anything, the biggest thing that they want to do, the scammers want to do, is create that sense of urgency. And I've been the recipient of this. Take a second and breathe. Take a second and think. A good friend of mine, when I was training to be a police officer, that I never got there, but he was a training officer for a police department that I worked with. He said, when he gets those big calls, the armed robberies, the shootings, he takes 10 seconds and just breathes. Three breaths, long and deep, and try to get that adrenaline out of the system. Try to make sure that their brain is focused on now getting there instead of the emotion, instead of the adrenaline pumping behind there. He goes, that's the best advice I can give you trying to get into this job. Think and breathe. And I was the victim of one of these, hey, your credit card's been hacked. I need you to log in and do this. And I the story goes, I was doing my bills that morning. I was at a store when this happened. Hey, your credit card's now being hacked at some store. It wasn't the store I happened to be in, but it was some store. And I clicked on the link from my phone. It brought me to my credit card login page on the web browser. And I stopped. And I thought about it for a second. Wait a minute. I was in my bank account earlier this morning. This looks legit. But let me look at the header that's coming across. Let me look at that bar. And sure enough, it was not my bank. Looked good. Looked great. Had I not taken that pause to think about what I was doing and those ramifications, I could have been easily the victim of identity theft, or my bank accounts could have been drained.
Yeah. And all it takes is one click.
Yeah. One.
And again, if they can get you, if they could, and they're so sophisticated now that nobody is out of the way of being able to be hit. They've gotten so good. AI is going to help them get better and more efficient at it. The emails look better. It's harder to detect phishing attempts now. Like, you've got to really be very careful, because at any time that can be. That's why, for instance, that's why I'll use a password vault. So if I do click a link, I don't ever enter my password in everything. My password vault does. So I can't tell the difference between an A and a Cyrillic A, right? But it can. So when I enter the password, it doesn't recognize that I have an account there. I'm like, wait, that's weird. Why is that? Why does it not know that I have an account here? And then I start thinking about it, like, wait, that's not an A. That's an acrylic Russian letter that is not A.
Well, I mean, but again, we're professionals. We do this for a living and still can find ourselves in those types of positions. Can you imagine the average person who is not technically savvy? You know, these are things that we've gotten away from teaching others to learn, to understand, to take that second. There is no thing in this world right now that requires an immediate action when it comes across as a text, when it comes across as an email, or even a phone call. I have told personal friends of mine, I can't deal with this right now. Give me 3 or 4 minutes and I will call you back and then we will discuss it. Don't do anything until I have time to think about this as a professional. Because at some point, we're going to become victims too. It's not an if problem. It's now a when problem. And let's be honest, don't trust a criminal.
Believe it or not, they're breaking the law already. So why would you trust them that they're going to stop breaking the law after you do what they tell you to do?
And we've seen this. Power Schools is a prime example of that. They got 72 million records stolen. They paid the ransom. They have a video of the quote-unquote hackers deleting data. And now we're seeing K-12 being blackmailed with the same data that was stolen. Did you really expect them to honor their word?
Nope. So, obviously they did because they paid. They just kind of, they hoped. So John, we talked about a lot. There's a lot of things in this nugget. I think we could probably talk for 3 hours on this topic. It's near and dear to my heart for sure. But, you know, knowing what we've talked about, knowing what you've seen, what we both experienced and kind of the horizon, next 5 to 10 years, what's something that you see that's concerning, getting worse, getting beyond what we've already talked about? And maybe what's one thing that's good, exciting, awesome that you see coming over the horizon that could be a benefit to this or other topics?
So it's going to be the same answer for both. Something that I find both very frightening and both very good. And that's artificial intelligence. We used to say that the lack of information caused people to be stupid, and we've proven with the internet that's not true, or the lack of common sense. Artificial intelligence is going to be both the greatest tool that mankind has ever created, and it's also going to be the worst tool. And if you saw the article with James Cameron, he started laughing and said, "I warned you in 1984.
I saw that.
You know? But we need to understand the limitations of our own inventions. And yes, it's great. We're starting to see cybersecurity use AI more for getting rid of or being able to produce these millions of lines of code and produce these millions of lines of and get rid of the alert fatigue that we're starting to see. Hey, this doesn't look right. Out of 5 billion lines of logs, this doesn't look right. Go look at this, Mr. Analyst.
Correct.
But the problem becomes is we're going to start relying on it more and more. And it's getting faster. It's getting better. Quantum computing's coming. I'd say within the next 5 years, we're going to see quantum computing at the desktop because it's getting more and more prevalent.
Yeah.
But we need to understand, get out of your house, get off your computer, get off your phone, start having human interactions versus just interacting with an artificial intelligence. I just saw an ad today. You can hire 70 AI workers to do what you need to do and create your own company out of one person. Really? Does that do anybody any good? No. Is it great for efficiency? Yes. Is it great to have a tool that can search the internet and find what you need to find without the hallucinations? Yes. But we need to understand that there are both humans that need to be interacted with and that there's human ingenuity that needs to be protected.
Mm-hmm.
Artificial intelligence, I look at it as two sides of the same coin. It's the devil on your shoulder. It's the angel on your shoulder. But we need to understand that it has both good qualities as well as drawbacks.
Yeah, 100% for sure. All right, John. So how do people find out more about the game, about the things you've got going? Any call to action for folks to reach out, et cetera?
So the call to action is pay attention to what your kids are doing online. have those conversations, make sure that your children and your friends' children, your nieces, your nephews, all have a safe space to at least come to you. Find a cyber professional within your realm of people to come to and ask questions. You can find me on trivigil.com, TRIVIGIL.com. You can find me on LinkedIn under my own name, John Schmansky Jr. You can find the game at MassConnectsGen.com. We're currently rebranding it. For those of school officials that listen to the podcast, we are doing betas right now in schools. It seems to be going off very well. There will be a school component. There will be artificial intelligence component built in. It gets better. It gets harder if you're good at it. It gets easier if you're not. So we don't want to discourage kids. And it's going to be reasonably priced for school districts and parents. Parents want to buy it outside of school districts that don't have it. We will have a component for that. I can talk about this topic all day long. I'm very proud to be involved in this project to bring it out. We are, for those of your podcast listeners, having a meetup on October 1st at the International Accelerator in Austin. It'll be, I believe it's on the website. I will give it to you, Aaron, so you can put the poster up so we can find it. You can register for it. We're doing this as kind of a parent and teacher night where we're going to have, you know, the explanation of what the threats are, what we're doing with the game and how the game can benefit you and your child. So the call to action, come find me on the internet. I'm not that hard to find. I'm in Austin. I'm at the meetups. I'm at the ISAs. And we can talk about how we can get this not only into your schools, because that's where we want to go with this and get down to where the kids are, but how we can help you as a parent understand these threats so that you can have an intelligent conversation.
100%. Everybody, definitely check in the show notes. All the links will be there. Definitely reach out to John, myself. My family, both my mom was a teacher. My sister's currently a teacher. Lots of teachers that want to help and may or may not have resources. Get this in front of your principal. Get it in front of your school board. Like this is something that needs to be in every school district. That everyone, it needs to be part of curriculum. Needs to be required that your people, for their own good, not because it's something that you're caring about the test, the standardized test crap. It's because it'll actually help people, right? It'll actually help protect these kids in these spaces. And everybody that's ever been a teacher that I've ever met in my entire life cares about kids, because they don't go into that profession to become millionaires, right? They come because they want to help kids. So this is another way they can do that. So definitely reach out, check out the website.
And it's going to be something that is going to make a difference. And we're targeting kids between fifth grade and seniors in high school. We've been asked by universities, help these kids understand the power of phishing, the power of, yes, you're not getting more grant money because you clicked on this link. They're stealing your bank account. I actually got that from a CISO at a college that I did an assessment for. They're having problems with incoming freshmen believing everything on the internet. So that's why we're targeting this app and this game and this methodology from fifth graders up to seniors in high school.
I love it. Awesome, brother. Keep up the fight. I appreciate you, all this work that you're doing. Definitely reach out to John or myself, definitely check out the app. Again, it'll be in the show notes. Reach out and get it for your kids, get it for your nieces, nephews, all the things. So thanks a lot, John. I'll see you at the next event, I'm sure. And until then, thank you for listening to the Protect It All podcast. And definitely, if you want to come on the podcast, if you have something to talk about or know somebody that should be on here, definitely please reach out and let us know. Until next time, have a nice one.
Thanks for joining us on Protect It All, where we explore the crossroads of IT and OT cybersecurity. Remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts to stay ahead in this ever-evolving field. Until next time.